John chapter 16. Draw your attention to John chapter 16. And I want to leave with you a number of texts tonight. I want to speak this evening, congregation, about the blessed departure. The blessed departure. Chapter 16, verse 7, the Lord talks about it again. I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. I depart. That's what the Lord said. I depart. And then chapter 13, verse 1. Before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart. He should depart out of this world. And then that portion that we read in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 2, and the verse 29, Simeon briefly prays, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart. There's that word again, depart. Let me depart. And then in Philippians chapter 1, and the verse 23, the Apostle Paul in his prison house, with the possibility of execution, says, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart. He's a desire to depart. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, and he is soon to be executed in this case. He says, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. The great departure. That's the thing that is common to all of these texts. It's about departing this life. It's about death. But there's something else that is common about these texts. And that is that these texts refer to the departure of good men, not bad men. They refer to the departure of godly men. Simeon was an old godly saint. The Bible says he was just and devout. The Apostle Paul was a faithful apostle. And of course, our Savior, our Lord, was a sinless man. So this metaphor for death as a departure in the New Testament is only used of good men. The unconverted don't depart. Only good men depart in this sense of the word. Saved men are the sinless Savior. You see, in the New Testament, this departure is seen as a good thing, a desirable thing. I have a desire to depart. Lord, let me depart. It's expedient for me that I depart. It's a good thing. And that's always brought out by this idea of departure. It always refers to the death of a good man. It's a blessed departure. Paul looked forward to it. Simeon prayed for it. Now, of course, the departure of our Lord is altogether different from ours. He is on a different league altogether, his departure. And thus, a different Greek word is used in his case. But nevertheless, while it's referring ultimately to the ascension of our Lord and that departure after his death, Nevertheless, the whole idea of departure is only referred to good men. It's a blessed departure. So what I'm saying is that in the New Testament, depart is a good and a joyful word for the death of a saint. It is not used of the wicked. Now, while it is true that they leave the world, the happy verb is not used of them. It is not a nice departure at all. It is not something to be desired. It is certainly not something to be prayed for. It is not something that is good. But the death of a child of God is blessed. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, the Bible says. So this word, this verb, depart, is used only of the death of saints. And this verb projects to us two pictures. And I want to present those two pictures to you so that you will see how blessed the verb is when it is used as a metaphor of death. The first picture is taken from the prison house. The verb depart gives the essential idea of loosening or releasing for something good and blessed. And of course, this verb projects, first of all, a scene of liberation. It's used of a prisoner when he is released from his chains, when he is loosed from his captivity at the sentence of a judge. The judge has sent commandment and sent word. He can depart. The jailer can let him go. The jailer can release him and loose him. And he departs the prison house. He's loose from the prison house. So it has a sense of being loosed from chains or released from captivity by the sentence of a judge. The death of the ungodly is not like that. He is not dismissed from his body as a liberated soul. He is not loosed from his captivity. The sinner's soul is dragged away from him. The sinner cannot commit his soul unto God in death. He's never done it in life. He'll not do it in death. His soul is dragged away from him, fighting the last breath. It is not a departure. It's dragged from him, and it's dragged from him away to be bound in hell's prison house. His body may be buried with honors. His name may be, as it were, glorified in all kinds of comments. The world may even use of him, he is departed. But it has not the happy connotations for him that it has for the saint. It is not a releasing for him. It is just a change of prison. He's still a condemned man, and it's just a change of prison for him until he is joined to his body again to receive his final sentence. Death to the sinner is just a change of a prison house. That's all. It is not a releasing. It's always the same for the ungodly. He can never depart. He can never be loosed. He can never, like Simeon, depart in peace. He can never, like Paul, depart with desire and be with Christ. His death is not a departure. It's a change of prison. The sinner will die, but for him, it is never better. That is why mercy killing, so-called euthanasia, is no mercy. There is no such thing for an unconverted man. For an unconverted, suffering man, there's no such thing as mercy killing. Euthanasia is a lie. It does not end suffering at all for the ungodly. It just changes the place of suffering and the nature of the suffering. He does not depart from the suffering. He still has suffering, and he still has a miserable existence, only in a different place. The death of a sinner sends him to more suffering. Terrible more suffering than bodily pains, because there are worse agonies and torments than bodily torments. There is the torment of conscience. Death is not a departure from his suffering. It is no departure for him at all in that sense. But how different it is for a saint. They are truly loosed. They truly are loosed from the captivity and the bondage and the infirmity, and they're loosed into rest. At death, God, the righteous judge, finally releases us, the people of God, from our bondage. Death is a relief for us. Death is rest for us, for it brings us to our rest. It's a real departure. And so the poor soul of the child of God is released, and he soars to the place of liberty to be with Christ. And he desires that. And in the agonies of old age, he may even pray for that. Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. So the first picture shows us a picture of a prison house departure. The other picture takes us from the prison house, and it takes us down to the docks, down to the harbor, where all the ships leave, where they're all docked to receive passengers, and the ships leave, they depart. To the harbor we then go in the second image. It sets forth a seafaring journey. And the picture then is of the ship being loosed from its moorings. That's the idea of loosed coming in again there in that verb depart. And again, it's a very different departure for the saint than for the sinner. It is true that both leave the world at death. That is so. Both, as it were, go out of the same harbor. That is so. But the word does not have a happy connotation for the ungodly. So that final unloosing, the ship is laden, it's going, the anchor is raised and it's unloosed from its hold on the floor, the seabed. And then the last rope that is tied to the harbor post, whatever it is, it's taken off and the ship's loosed and it departs. That's the picture in the verb. The last rope is unhooked, but the two ships departing are very different. The deathbed of an ungodly sinner is very different from the deathbed of a saint. They're very different. The atmosphere is different. You can feel the difference. You know the difference. They're different because of two things. They're different because of the nature of the journey that the departing soul is taking. And they're different because of the destination that each soul is going to. The saint's voyage, the saint's departure, is a real departure. The saint's voyage is one of peace. Now lettest thy servant depart in peace. It's a departure in peace. The convict sinner doesn't have that. He doesn't have a departure in peace. The departure of the saint is of a willing departure, a desire to depart. Paul had a desire to. It's like a cruise liner. All things are ready. Everything's ready. And you're called on board by the captain of your salvation. You know it's the time. And he gives you the grace. It's blessed. It's the journey of a saint. And the captain's on board, our Lord Jesus, and he's most gracious. And his rod and his staff, they comfort us. It's a cruise liner death. We're getting on board. It's a departure. His angels are accompanying us. He was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom. Oh, it's a different death. He's departing in peace. And there's the Holy Spirit present, bringing back the word of God that he had brought to us under the ministry and in our study of the scriptures. The word of promises on board. One saint boarding death said, "Is this death? Is this what I have feared for so long? Is this death?" When it was on board, it was nothing to fear. It was blessed. The Lord was there, and the angels was there, and the Holy Spirit was there, and the rod and staff were there, and the promises were there. It's a blessed departure. And so I don't want to give the impression that it's easy for the saint. Loved ones must be left. Yes, that is true. There are things that are undone in our life that we would like to do, and we're uncomfortable that we have left them undone. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it is without some apprehensions and fears. I'm not saying that the harbor is a nice, pleasant place. It could be a very dark, bloody harbor. I think of the harbor that Jesus Christ left, Calvary. It wasn't a nice harbor. The harbor wasn't nice. But I tell you this, the boat he got on, it was nice. Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit. A blessed departure. He departed. There is the apprehension and the fears, no doubt. But when we board, grace shall bring us to our comfortable quarters till the journey is complete and the destination is met. That's the nature of the journey. Depart in peace. And the destination, of course, is heaven. To be with Christ. Oh, it's a departure. It's a departure, all right, to leave this world and to go to be with Christ. That's a blessed departure. And so that's a picture from this verb for the saint at the harbor of death. Depart at such and such a date, such and such a time. Happy departure. Bon voyage. Let me depart. Happy voyage. Dying saint. But how different is the sinner's voyage? It is true that they leave the world. It is true that they leave the same harbor. But they board no cruise liner of grace, I can tell you. They have despised grace all their days. There is no gracious captain on board to welcome them. No comfort, no light, no promises, no grace. The cabins are dark, and if spirit beings are present, they are demons. It is not a departure. Death for the sinner is no cruise liner, bringing them to a new world of blessedness. You know what death is to the sinner? It's a penal ship. A penal ship bringing them to a penal colony, and that penal colony is called hell. That's where they're going. It's awful to travel on a penal ship. The company is not good. The atmosphere is terrible. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let us go down then to the harbor of death. There are the saints dying, boarding, one by one. And heaven's cruise liner departing. Bon voyage. But there are the wicked, one by one in chains, being dragged to the penal ship for the penal colony. God's penal colony, where the devil and his angels are kept. That's where they're going. That's not a departure. They depart nothing. One ship is as bright as day. The other is as dark as night. One is a blessed departure. The other is a foul transit. They shall go into everlasting punishment. But the righteous into everlasting life. We read at the end of the Old Testament book of Jesus, the book of Joshua, as it is in the Hebrew, Joshua let the people depart, every one to his own inheritance. And that's what death is to the child of God. It's letting his saint depart, every one of them, to his own inheritance. The death of a saint is not that. Or of a sinner is not that. So the saints are truly departing. They're departing from the society of the wicked. The ungodly are not. They're still with the society of the wicked in hell. They haven't departed. They haven't departed the society of the wicked. But the saints have. The Savior, when he left the world, he departed from the society of the wicked. He left them behind. And when a saint dies, he leaves the wicked behind. No more persecution. No more hatred from the ungodly. No more being cast out of the synagogue. No more being thrown into the jail. No more being tongued about and slandered. No more hurt from the hands of the reprobate. No more. They've departed from that. That's a true departure. But you see the wicked? They don't leave the company of the ungodly. They'll still be hurt by the foul spirits in hell. And those who, when they've hurt each other, they'll be hurt back in hell. And they'll still have to listen to blasphemy. And they'll still have to face the threatenings of the wicked. And they'll still have to face the demons and the devil. They don't depart them at all. Hell's an awful place. Never mind the flames. Never mind the divine judgment. Just the company
just to have the company of the ungodly forever and ever. Never get away from them. But you, child of God, depart them at death. You can say goodbye to them. Goodbye. Goodbye to your hurt. Goodbye. I'm departing forever with the Lord. Far better. Goodbye, old world, with all its wickedness. It's a true departure. And it's a departing from the warfare with Satan and his angels. It's leaving those spirit enemies behind. We've had to encounter them. We've had to encounter them as the possessed men and women that we come in contact with. We had to encounter them when we went to the throne of grace and were hindered by them in prayer. But now goodbye, devil and demons. We're departing at death. We're leaving you behind. You'll not be able to hinder us anymore. Goodbye. Departing in peace. But the ungodly don't depart. The foul spirits, they're in hell with them. Go to hell. Go to the everlasting torment, the Lord says, prepared for the devil and his angels. It's an awful thing to go there. You don't want to go there, sinner. Penal colonies on earth are terrible. The French used to have a penal colony in Guinea. A number of islands, and one of them was called Devil's Island. It wasn't a place you wanted to go to. It was terrible. You wouldn't even want to read about it. But it's nothing compared to hell. Don't go to hell, sinner. Repent of your sin. Get your heart changed. Get goodness and grace in you. And get Christ in your soul. And get a real change. Don't go to hell. The saints are departing from the suffering and sorrows of this world. It's a real departure from that. No more tears. Wipe away all tears. No more suffering. No more pains. But for the sinner, he doesn't depart pains and sufferings at all. He doesn't depart tears at all. Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, he doesn't depart any of that. The sinner doesn't depart any days from suffering. That's why the Bible never uses it of the ungodly. Though they seem to leave this world, they don't depart the evils of it. Sinners are going, in fact, to worse sorrows and worse sufferings. They'll have sorrows, but there won't be trials anymore. You see, our sorrows and sufferings now are trials. And trials have two purposes: to test us and to change us. But you see, in hell, suffering's not trials, because there's no testing in hell and there's no change in hell. Suffering is in hell is pure punishment. But you see what a sinner suffers now? It's to lead him to repentance. Are you suffering? It's God saying to you, repent, change, be converted. But even with all the sufferings of the ungodly, they still don't repent. In fact, the Bible says they get worse without converting grace. But in hell, there's no suffering that leads to repentance. There's no such a place as purgatory. If there is such a place as purgatory, it's this world. The suffering of this world should change you and lead you to repentance. So I might call earth purgatory. There's no purgatory after death, that's for sure. And then when the saint departs, oh, happy departure. He leaves his sin. Oh, how blessed and happy he is when the first moment of consciousness, he's conscious that he has the absence of sin. Oh, happy departure.
He's departed from sin for good. That's a departure indeed. But there is no such departure from the wicked for the wicked. The wicked doesn't leave his sin. He brings it with him. He doesn't leave his malice and his battles with envy. He brings them all with him. He's filled with hatred in life, and he's filled with hatred in death, and he brings the same hatred to hell, and he's going to pour it out in anybody he meets. And they're going to have it poured out on him, anybody he meets. That's what hell's like. A place of hatred. A place of foul spirits gnashing with teeth. The sinner does not depart from sin. And death for him is not a departure from that. Do you see what I'm trying to say? One is a departure, and one is not. Departing saints go to be received by the Lord Jesus, to be welcomed by him, to have him at the shore welcoming them. Well done, good. The Lord will never say, well done, bad. There's nobody going to hear that. But if you're good, through grace, well done, good and faithful servant. There's no bad people blessed and received in glory. You have to be born again and made upright through grace. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me. And one day we shall part to be with him. He's praying for our departure. Every day he's praying for our departure, John 17. I will that they be with me. I will their departure. Blessed departure when Jesus prays about it. But there is no such welcome for the unconverted. Oh, they will hear the word depart eventually. But it will be in the mouth of Jesus. And he will say, depart from me. That's the only departure sinners have at death. A departure from Christ. A departure from the means of grace and from the house of God and from the Holy Ghost. They have that departure forever. That's the only departure they know, or they shall know in death. That's not the child of God's departure. So if you're a Christian child of God, you need not fear death. You are like Simeon. You can say, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, because mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I've seen it. I've seen the Lord. I've seen your Christ. I'm ready. Oh, now let me depart in peace. Child of God, if you've seen the Lord, if you've got a glimpse of him by faith, you'll have a blessed departure. If his grace has got into your heart and life, and he sanctified you, he will glorify you. And so you can be like Paul, child of God, and desire this departure when the hour comes. But be patient and be faithful in the meantime. And don't waste your Sabbaths, and don't waste the means of grace that the Lord has given to you. Use them to strengthen your faith for this last voyage. Be faithful. Be good. And hear the well done, child of God. Patiently be steadfast in the things of God. And don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Oh, no. And don't miss opportunities of doing good. And you who are not saved, not born again, not truly converted, when you go down to the harbor of death, There is no bon voyage for you, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. That's all there is for you. You need to be saved. You need to be converted. You need to be born again. You need to have a new heart. You need to repent and believe. Truly believe in Jesus Christ.